Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, where do I go? Where do I go? So much to talk about, so little time. Some good stuff, some bad stuff, some frustrating, some illuminating, but we'll get through it all today. A friend of mine called it Manic Monday. Jen Blakely happens to be here with two of her kids, and they're in here just checking out live radio. And she was the author, like it's past tense. She wrote the book Joey. We did a show on that a few months ago. Was it a couple months ago, Jen? Yeah, a couple months ago. Is an incredible book about a blind horse at a great ministry here in Raleigh, North Carolina, called Hope Reigns. So you should go get that book and read it. I was, you know, a typical man. I've known about this. Is one of the ministries where they used kind of used and abused and broken and abandoned horses to minister to kids who are having all kinds of problems. And as a man, I knew about the ministry. I knew Kim who started it. I'd heard about all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's really nice. I'm sure they do awesome stuff. Praise the Lord. But didn't really have any emotional stock in it. But once I read Joey and found myself actually tearing up several times, I was like, wow, this is pretty. Now, Callan, my intern on the other side of the glass, just made the most interesting look at me as he heard that I was, yes, I actually tear up from time to time, Callan. It's actually true. It happens. I do have a heart. Thanks for that. But anyway, it's a great book, Joey. So they're just in here checking it out. I think her son, how old are you? 15. What's your name again?
Andrew's
in here. So I have an audience. But the great thing about, well, I guess being me, is that it doesn't matter if I have an audience or not. I'm the same person all the time, whether I'm in my car yelling and screaming or in front of an audience or in a church or sitting here in the studio. So a lot to go through today as I look through all these different stories. Some of these things, you're going to get inundated with it anyway. Like FBI agent Peter Strzok was fired today. I think he finally got the axe. That was a long time coming. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from there. This is from a Ben Shapiro article. And he was just kind of recounting what had happened. And so he's agreeing, you know, it's beyond time for Strzok to go. But what does this mean for the future of the Mueller investigation? A couple things here. First, we still don't know the extent to which Strzok's personal bias impacted the Russia collusion investigation. Were warrants improperly ordered? Was information improperly gathered? Is the entire investigation indeed a sham, as of course President Trump says? None of that's completely clear, even after his pathetic behavior. This is a Ben Shapiro article. How much does this impact the future of the Mueller investigation? Which, after all, was initiated by the FBI's investigation into Trump foreign policy aide, George Papadopoulos. So this just is another step down a really long road. So if you think you know everything about it, you don't. And so I would just caution you, as well as myself and everybody else, to take this one step at a time. We only have the information that's come out of the that's kind of showing over the ocean. It's like an iceberg. And most of what's going on is under the ocean. We have yet to see that. So be patient. And one of those reasons, yet again, to pray for those in authority over us, because it is such a colossal mess and only getting bigger and messier as we go along. So make sure you're stopping. I'm pretty confident in this, that 100% of you complain and whine, as I do, about the government, but probably only about 5% at best of us pray regularly for those in authority over us. So just take this as a little biblical admonition from your friend Steve. And I've been bad at it over the years, too. I'm much better now. But we need to be doing that. We complain like crazy. Only about half of us are even registered to vote. But very few of us actually pray for those in authority over us, according to Scripture. Pray1tim2.org is a website I mention regularly, where you'll get a little email every day. Early in the morning, reminding you of about six or seven of the people that serve an elected office from your state, mostly on the state level and a couple on the federal level, that you can pray for. So it's a really helpful tool to help us be obedient to the Lord and what he said. Pray1tim2.org. Okay, here's this other one. Omarosa. All right, so this is the Omarosa gal, Manigault. She's making the media rounds. She got fired too. Do you see a trend here with Donald Trump? So this was also from a Ben Shapiro article. By the way, if you missed my interview with Ben last week, that's been played over and over and over. I think that's our biggest Facebook Live. Actually, Ben Shapiro passed Ann Graham Lotz. There's actually something wrong with that. that a Facebook Live video by Ben Shapiro would pass Ann Graham Lotz. I mean, in the heavenlies and theologically sounding, but that's on Facebook Live if you want to check that out, or you can grab the podcast. That was a great conversation we had last week on Wednesday. So Wacky Amoroso, he called her, who got fired 3 times on The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time. She never made it, never will. Again, this is gentle Ben Shapiro as usual. She begged me for a job. So guess who's saying this? It's not Ben Shapiro. It's President Trump. This is from a tweet, okay? Let's go back. Let me replay this for you. Wacky Omarosa, who got fired 3 times in The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time. She never made it, never will. She begged me for a job, tears in her eyes. I said, okay. People in the White House hated her. She was vicious, but not smart. I would rarely see her, but heard really bad things. You hired her. Nasty to people and would constantly miss meetings and work. When General Kelly came on board, he told me she was a loser and nothing but problems. I told him to try working it out if possible because she only said great things about me until she got fired. So that's the president. Now, sometimes I support him and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I cheer him and sometimes I want to gag. This is one of those times when I kind of want to gag. So he hired her. And then, of course, did you hear the tape? So she's going to get in trouble for this. So she recorded some things, and I think it was NBC or ABC said something about the tape that she had of a conversation when Donald Trump, the sitting president of the United States, called her, and she recorded it, okay? And he's telling her, like, he's acting dumb, like he doesn't know. He didn't even know she had gotten fired. But you look at this tweet, looks like he was all up inside of that and knew what was going on. Yeah, so you get two different versions of reality here, which we're kind of having to get used to. So here's some 5 things that these are worth going over, okay? This is from the Ben Shapiro article. 5 things about the Omarosa firing. Who does the hiring over there? That's a good question. Trump seems to suggest that Omarosa was randomly hired and then fired, but Trump insisted on Omarosa being hired over the objections of people inside and outside the administration. 2, why can't Trump actually fire people? One of the most laugh-out-loud aspects of the Omarosa-Trump fights are the tapes in which Omarosa is informed by Chief of Staff John Kelly that she's out, followed by the tape of Trump explaining he has no idea why anyone would say she's out. That's the president. 3, why does Trump hire crappy people? It's a good question. 4, can Trump clamp down on staffing chaos? The thing that's interesting about Donald Trump is he loves chaos. So while he doesn't have a problem with it, most other people do. You all just kind of need to get over that. 5, does Omarosa actually have anything? At this point, it seems deeply unlikely that Omarosa has anything, meaning like evidence. She's merely the latest disgruntled employee to suggest that she has dirt and then deliver little of consequences. See Steve Bannon. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. A lot of different stories we're going to go through. We'll end up talking to our friend David Fisher at the end of the show, the last segment on a Monday update. I think, God help him. That's what we say in the South. When you really don't like somebody or you're going to slam them or whatever, you're going to gossip, you say, God bless them or bless their heart. Oh, God bless them. I think he's still in Honolulu. So we'll suffer through a little bit with David in the fourth segment of the show, a little Monday update. Several things to talk about there. And a couple other stories I want to go through with you. And then I want to spend some time in the next segment talking about Richard Russell. Richard Russell is the 29-year-old that stole the Bombardier Q400. Out of the Seattle airport and then unfortunately crashed and died there on a little island in the Sound area. There's a lot of water there. And there's a lot of, it's such a bizarre thing. I don't know. Have you heard any of the transcript or any of the actual recording of, between him and the flight control people in the tower? That it was just bizarre because he was so casual. And it shows you, now kids, don't go getting any ideas. It goes to show you, He literally said during his conversation with the flight controllers that they were talking to him about it, and he was like, "Well, yeah, I've played a lot of video games." Because how do you? He's been around the airport for 3 years, but he's able to get into this rather complicated turboprop, which is kind of a cross between a jet and a prop plane. Seats 76 people. It's not small. You're not stealing somebody's Cessna. Get the thing in the air and then fly for an hour and a half doing loops and barrel rolls. All because he spent, I guess, a fair amount of time on video games. But he ended up dying, obviously. And just a crazy story, but also a sad story. So I'm going to go through that and the statement from his family, and I'm going to apply that to all of us, especially if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I think there's some lessons that we need to learn here as in terms of the people that God has put into our lives. So I'll talk about that. Let's talk about, for a couple of minutes, the Charlottesville thing and Antifa and the quote-unquote alt-right in Washington, D.C. Of course, it was a year ago, the anniversary of that violent rally in Charlottesville. One woman died, you know, the car, remember when the car hit her and she was in the crowd? And that was horrible, and to see all that, the amount of, it was nice to see, and actually the new mayor of Charlottesville, one, got in there by pointing out all the problems with the previous administration in Charlottesville, because they just kind of let it all happen on a state level, on a local level, on a federal level. It was too late to do anything there. But this year, they weren't having any of that. So the police presence was massive. They were all over the place, thank God for that. And then the D.C. too. But one of the things that happens here is when you hear about that, and let me just deal with Donald Trump here for a second. Again, I just can't escape Donald Trump. Last year when Charlottesville happened, and he was saying, he had that stupid statement about good people on both sides. He's just spent his whole life not having to worry about what people going over his statements with a fine-tooth comb. But once you become the president of the United States, you have to do that. And restraint and decorum are important. I know that a lot of us like Donald Trump because he speaks his mind and all that kind of stuff. But you're still the president of the United States. And to give any kind of quarter at all to the people that were involved and even appear to do it with Charlottesville last year was a huge mistake. I'll show him a little grace because I'm a Christ follower. And I'll show him a little grace and a little mercy because he was fairly new at the job. But still, he's not a kid. He's a mature man and a successful businessman who should know better. So he completely messed that up last year. He should have thrown all of them, proverbially, under the bus. Alt-right, Antifa, they're all crazy. They're all psycho. They're all destructive. They're all a harm to our society and this country. Okay, so he totally messed that up. This go around, though, what happens is now you, and the liberal media does this all the time, love him or hate him, pin the whole thing, not only to Donald Trump, that mean being the alt-right, which sounds like the alternative right, which means are they conservative? Are they on the right? Are they Republicans? And then Antifa, which is funny because they're anti-fascists, except they are fascists. Go do a little study of history. Go see how Nazi Germany came to be. Go look at Mussolini and how they were able to take over in Italy. And you're going to find fascism and nationalistic fascism underneath all of that. But you actually have to study. You actually have to read. You have to actually have to take some time to look at the facts. Antifa and the alt-right are crazy fascists. They're socialists. They're so far to the left that I think they would make Ocasio look pretty tame in terms of socialist ideas in terms of the government. So they have nothing to do with conservatives. They have nothing to do with, quote-unquote, the right or Republicans. These are hard, hard, psycho-left, fascist, white. Can I say white trash? I think I can. Bigoted, psychopathic, hate-filled people, right? They're like a cancer. Now, God bless them. They all need the gospel, obviously. And it's really easy in my flesh to just start throwing people under the bus and think of them strictly as a scumbag or a lost person or whatever. Except that's where we have to remember that while politics is important, the gospel is preeminent. So I have to, and I have a responsibility to, and I still struggle with it, to have a gospel mindset before I have a political mindset or even a patriotic mindset. So you, the next time you watch Antifa or you're looking at some white supremacist people, you're looking at Nazis, just remember that he died for them too, and they're made in the image of God too. Now it's marred, and it's scarred, and it's dark, and it's hard to see, but it's still true. And so any crazy fascist, any nutso Antifa person who's screaming the most horrific things at the police, Jesus died for them just as much as he died for you. And you're probably a nice, law-abiding, fairly moral, fairly honest person. But Jesus didn't die any more for you than he did for them. So we got to remember that. So, but every time you hear that, alt-right, Antifa, white supremacists, I am a conservative and have voted Republican my whole life. And right now, I'm independent. I re-registered a couple years ago as an independent. But to try to pin all that stuff to Donald Trump is ridiculous and inaccurate, or to pin it to the right. I'm not even trying to more or less pin it to the left. I'm not going to pin Antifa to Obama. I know some of you might want to, but I don't. These people are really dangerous. They're growing cancer, and we need to pay attention to them as such. So hopefully the media is not helping with that. And they were getting nasty. Some of the tweets coming out the other day, these are from media people on the ground. Mass Antifa launched fireworks, water bottles, eggs at cops. Secret Service has backed off. This is the moment protesters and members of Antifa tried to stop us from filming and then cut our audio cable. Leftists marching in Charlottesville tonight. All cops are racist. You better face it, was one of their little chants going over there. So those were members of the media, but oftentimes they don't cover both sides. Need to cover Antifa and the white fascists, all of these guys. They need to cover them honestly, not pin them to one side or the other politically because they're so far out there. But they are dangerous, and I think they need to do a much better job of pointing that out. And the government needs to get more serious about that. Okay, let's see. Okay, let me go back to this because I saw it showing up on social media again today. I talked about it on Friday. And this is a shot across the bow of Donald Trump and every Republican so-called pro-life person in Washington, D.C. I mentioned this on Friday, but if you missed it, I want you to hear it today again, and I'll continue to mention it. Listen to this. You would think this was 4 years ago if you're going to go purely partisan political here. FDA purchases aborted baby parts to transplant their brain tissue into mice. Now think back a couple years. About 2 years ago, what was a big news story going on and something you were watching on YouTube? That's right. It was the sting videos of Planned Parenthood done by the Center for Medical Progress. Now, the Center for Medical Progress has on its founding board our good friend Troy Newman. So we talked about that. We watched those videos. We played the audio all the time. And we're all upset, including a bunch of Republicans and pro-lifers, about how dare Planned Parenthood sell aborted baby parts. Now you got the FDA buying them. Name that tune. Come on, name that tune. Might cost you your Christian card. Name that tune. Name the band. Just give me the band. Does anybody know the band? Anybody on Facebook Live know the band? Callan knows it. Yes, pretty good for an 18-year-old because generally your guys' taste in music is horrible. But yeah, that was Rush. That's the band Rush. That's right. So if listen, legitimately, this is I've had many conversations on this. If you think that me using secular music or rock and roll music like that as bump music on a Christian talk radio show is really bad, it's really a bad witness, then I want you to send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. Okay, just send me an email. I'd love to have that conversation with you because there's actually a meaning behind it. I actually do that on purpose. But it's not something that I can devote some time to it another time on a show, but I'd love to talk to you about that. It's been a good theological exercise and just talking about our witness to the world and how we use the world around us for the kingdom endeavors. So if you want to shoot me an email on that one, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. And a reminder, The Daily Dose, we are just finishing up chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. And so if you want to jump on that list, that's gotten a whole lot easier. We're just using technology, which is cool most of the time. So just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, text DOSE to 66866. So if you're old, like I am, I'm 52. So the first time I heard that, text DOSE to 66866. First time I heard any kind of an admonition or a direction to do that, I'm like, all right, so if I text my wife, do I put DOSE in the two part or in the numbers in the message part? Or do I, you put the numbers, like if you're putting in somebody's phone number, right? That's who you're sending it to, 66866. Then the message, like you say, hi, hon, bring home some bacon or whatever, would be 66866 is the number, and then the word DOSE. DOSE is the message. 66866 is who you're sending it to. Then we send you a text right back and ask you for your email, and that's how you get on the list, and bada bing, bada boom. So we're finishing up chapter 3 in the book of Proverbs today, and then we'll roll into chapter 4 tomorrow. And I'll probably write 5, 6, maybe 7 daily doses per chapter. So after 31 chapters, we're going to be a couple hundred in, probably. And that'll take us probably through the end of the year. But that's just it's 2 to 3 minutes mostly. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. It's pretty pointed. My wife texted me this morning after she got it. She got her daily dose this morning. She texted me and said, you know, your devotionals are actually better than blankety blank. Fill in the really well-known pastor's devotionals that we both get in the morning. And I'm like, well, honey, do you need to buy something? Or do we need to go on vacation? Are you buttering me up. She wasn't. She was serious. So that was kind of very nice of her to say. I don't know that I agree with her, but maybe I do. Anyway, text the word dose to 66866 and jump on the list there. Okay, let me jump back into this. I talked about this on Friday. Now, where we've got Donald Trump, who you could make a case, arguably, on kind of several levels, you could make a case, the most pro-life president in the history of the country, right? You could try to make that case. Except, and this is, we're going to swing our axe in both directions, okay? We're going to swing it to the left, we're going to swing it to the right, which means we are intellectually honest. So whatever magnifying glass you put Trump or you put Obama under, you better be willing to put Trump under the same magnifying glass, okay? That's intellectual honesty. So they have not defunded Planned Parenthood. The Republicans are in control of the Senate, and they're in control of the House, and they're in control of the White House. Yet, we're still spending $500 million a year on Planned Parenthood, okay? So you can talk it all you want. But like James said, you show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. So where's the action on that? Then there's this. And yes, I'm upset. FDA purchases aborted baby parts to transplant their brain tissue into mice, which is a psycho kind of crazy science thing anyway. A new report indicates the Food and Drug Administration has signed a new contract. New. To acquire body parts from aborted babies to be transplanted into so-called humanized mice. The grisly experiments allow mice to have a functioning human immune system for research purposes. This is out of LifeSite or LifeNews.com. CNS News Today reported the details of the new FDA contracts signed on July 25th, just a few weeks ago, according to information published by the FDA. The objective is to acquire tissue for humanized mice. It sounds so normal, doesn't it? Acquire tissue. The contractor, the notice said, would provide the human fetal tissue needed to continue the ongoing research being led by the FDA. Fresh human tissues are required, said the notice, for implantation into severely immune-compromised mice to create chimeric animals that have a human immune system. Fetal tissue used in research is obtained from, wait for it, elective abortions, says the Congressional Research Service. So, the quote-unquote pro-life Republicans in the House and the Senate, along with the quote-unquote pro-life president, are overseeing the operations of the FDA. This is more on the president to acquire human body parts, which they've purchased as a result of elective abortions. Now you just let that sink in, okay? And it's just like thinking Fox News is as pure as the wind-driven snow. It's not. And if you think the Republican Party is the party of life, in many ways it is, and the party platform, it is. That's great. That's their orthodoxy, which is wonderful. But the orthopraxy matters too. Orthopraxy is what you do, not just what you say. They're not doing much. They're saying a lot, but they're not doing much. This is a disgusting blight on the Republican Party in the Congress as well as the Republican in the White House. Okay, so let's go to this story. I got some interesting application points, I think, for all of us. Excuse me. Richard Russell was the 29-year-old who stole the Bombardier Q400 turboprop, right? Seats 76 people. He did that Friday night. Pierce County, Washington State, near Seattle. And was it Seattle or Portland? Seattle. So he steals it. He's not a pilot. He's never gotten a pilot's license. And reading the transcript and listening, you can actually listen to the transcript of his conversation between himself and air traffic control. I think at one point he said, you know, I played some video games or a lot of video games. So he's able to, this is a 76-seat aircraft. It's not small. It's not a little Cessna. He's able to, as a three-year employee there, this is all falling under Alaska Airlines, he's able to get one of those little ground vehicles, turn the plane around, get in it, start it, taxi it, and take it off. And then he goes for 90 minutes, okay? And here's some of the things he talks about. And he was completely, sounded totally calm when you hear the recording. Totally calm. And obviously there was a lot going on behind there. But this is some of the stuff. He says, get some gas, go check out the Olympics. Air traffic controller, okay, and Rich, are you able to tell what altitude you're at? Rich says, yeah, that's all mumbo jumbo. I have no idea what all that means. I wouldn't know how to punch it in. I'm off autopilot, by the way. And then he sees the jets because 7 minutes into this little joyride, which unfortunately ended in his death, nobody else was hurt. 7 minutes in, you've got two F-15s shadowing him. Which is a program they started back in September of 2001 called Noble Eagle. So anything goes awry with airspace in this country, and you've got fighter jets, F-15s on you pretty quick. You taking me to the jets? No, I'm taking you, not taking you to any jets. I'm actually keeping you away from aircraft that are trying to land at SeaTac. Oh, okay, yeah, I don't want to screw with that. I'm glad you're not, you know, screwing up everyone else's day on account of me. Amazing. Can we just shut down? That's the air traffic controller. I'm down to 2,100. I started like 30-something. He's talking about how much fuel he has left, right? Rich, you said you had about 2,100 pounds of fuel left? Yeah, I don't know what the burnage or burnout is like on takeoff. But yeah, it's burned quite a bit faster than I expected. And when you listen to this, he's calm. He's not freaking out. He's calm. Oh, man, those guys, and they're trying to get him to land at a military base. He goes, oh, man, those guys would rough me up if I tried landing that. I think I might mess something up there, too. I wouldn't want to do that. Hopefully, they probably got anti-aircraft guns too, you know, so he was a little paranoid but still kind of calm. And at one part when they're talking to him, he's like, you know, I'm going to disappoint a lot of people. People are going to be upset that I did this. And then the last thing they got from him in this conversation was, he said, hey, I want the coordinates of that orca with the mama orca with the baby. I want to go see that guy. That was the story. 17 days this orca carried its baby, its dead baby, on its back for about 1,000 miles. And then he did a loop, he did some barrel rolls, and he eventually crashed into a deserted island there in the Puget Sound. So this is a guy that nobody knew. People were shocked. Here's the statement from his parents. On behalf of the family, we are stunned and heartbroken. It may seem difficult for those watching at home to believe, but Bebo, that's his nickname, was a warm, compassionate man. It's impossible to encompass who he is in a press release. He was a faithful husband, a loving son, and a good friend. A childhood friend remarked that Bebo was loved by everyone because he was kind and gentle to each person he met. This is a complete shock to us. We are devastated by these events, and Jesus is truly the only one holding this family together right now. Without him, capital H, we would be hopeless. As the voice recordings show, Bebo's intent was not to harm anyone, and he was right in saying that there are so many people who love him. We would like to thank the authorities, who have been both helpful and respectful, Alaska Airlines for their resources, the community, and Jesus, whose steadfast love endures. We'd also like to thank the media for their sensitivity and acknowledging this is the only statement that will be released by the family, and we request that we now be given space to mourn. At this time, the family is moving forward with the difficult task of processing our grief. We appreciate your prayers. So here's the question. Is there a Richard Russell in your life? Is there one in mine? Because we wouldn't know it based on this story. So do we take the time to actually get to know anybody? Do we ask questions? Do we pursue an answer? Do we care enough to stay in it and to dig? Because odds are, we all know a Richard Russell. And if you're a Christ follower, we're called to do something about it. This is Steve Noble. We'll be back with David Fisher after this. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. If you want to throw, I've never given my email out. I don't know why I don't do that. I'm happy to engage anybody. Sometimes it might take me a little while to get back to you, but I'll always engage. Occasionally, this is kind of funny, every once in a while, because if you go to the website, you'll eventually find a phone number. We have to have that on there for a number of reasons. It's not my cell phone, okay? But it's like a Google phone number. And occasionally, somebody will call that right near the end of the show. And there have been times when I'm driving home, because when you hear the beginning of the show and it says I'm an ordinary man that believes that it serves an extraordinary God, it's true. I have bills, I have faults, I do all kinds of, you already know that. I do all kinds of stupid stuff. I'm in Christian radio, I'm not in secular radio, so I'm not flying around in EIB-1, and we have the same challenges at home and budgets and all that kind of stuff. And occasionally somebody will call that number and leave a message, and I'll call them on my way home. And it's so funny, because I'd be, hi, is so-and-so there? Yeah, this is so-and-so. I'd be, hey, Steve Noble, I got your message. I can't believe you're calling me. I'm like, why? I probably have to stop at the grocery store on the way home and pick up some eggs and a couple more avocados for my wife. But the chance to engage is awesome. I love doing that. So don't ever think that I'm something I'm not. I'm easy to get to. So whether you want to go to the website and do it, or you can just send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. I will get back to you on Facebook, whatever. And God's just blessed me with all kinds of great conversations and ways to help people and stuff there, which has been awesome. And people that are hurting and people that have challenges, because I know a lot of people. I'm a really well-connected nobody. So whenever I'm talking to somebody, I'm always thinking, who can I get to help? Who can they help? And who can help them? I'm always thinking like that. So Steve at the stevenobleshow.com if you want to send me a note or yell at me for using Rush as a bump music. Let's go to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com as always. And David, are you still suffering out there in Hawaii? How can we pray for you, my brother?
I'm not suffering for the cause of Christ anymore. I'm suffering in one step close to hell, as they say, in the weather, being 115 degrees in Phoenix.
Oh my! So are you still on your vacation, or are you back home?
No, I'm back in Phoenix. It's 115.
It's 115 degrees today in Phoenix.
maybe it's a little bit chilly. 112. I don't know.
112. Well, you know, button up and make sure you wear your sweater vest when you go home. But yeah, I mean, praise the Lord. That is the closest you, David Fisher, will ever be to hell. And and when I visited you out there last year, that was the closest that I'll ever be to hell as well, at about 115 or 120. I mean, it's just crazy because the night I landed in Phoenix and I'm going to my hotel, it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and it was still in the upper 90s. It's crazy. It's just this bizarre phenomenon out there. But how long have you been there?
In Phoenix, 25 yeah. years, and you can really fry an egg on the ground, on the cement, when it's in the teens, you know.
Man, so, that's just crazy.
Anyway, I've never personally tried it, but I've seen videos that you can actually
sure.
do that.
All right, enough of that. Sorry, I got totally off track there. But I appreciate you calling in, and our little Money Monday updates I love, because we always start with a biblical application or admonishment. And here you're in a book that people don't even know is in the Bible. Habakkuk, if you want to know, if you've always been curious about how you say that, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 18. Let's start there.
Well, in picking this scripture, I had no idea that you were going to talk about the jet airliner and Richard Russell. This is very applicable. Verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyfully in God, my Savior. You know, even though this outward circumstances around us show no fruit, show no hope, show no a sense of path of where I'm going to get out of this predicament, we still are people of praise, and there's something that happens in the hearts of believers when we rejoice in the circumstance that God has allowed us to be put into so that he can make his will in our lives become even greater, and the destiny that he's called all of us to live, to be that salt and the light of the earth, sometimes is cemented even more so in our spirits, in our lives, during those times of turmoil.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'm
so...
sure that's the case for many.
Absolutely, and that's why I don't know if you heard me read the statement from Richard Russell's family.
Yes, I did.
But not once, not twice, but three times they mentioned our Lord and Savior Jesus. And in that, you can hear that somewhere in there, they're praising the Lord. And you know, if we're going to go based on how his parents are, perhaps Richard Russell was a believer himself, and we'll be able to get to know him well in heaven. But there's always, you always have to stop. And like Habakkuk's kind of admonishing us here, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, regardless of your circumstances. And sometimes that's not very pretty. Sometimes that's you curled up at the foot of the cross, thinking that nothing good is coming of anything, and you don't know where God is and all of that. Yet Jesus still died on the cross. He still went into that grave. He still came out, and he still saved you. So, and also Paul, you know, reminds us that this is a momentary light affliction that one day will work itself into an eternal weight of glory. And we have to remember that. It's hard to keep a good perspective.
You know, some of our most defining moments as believers are birthed in those times of great turmoil and agony and despair. And, you know, we don't want those, but we have to rejoice when we're in the midst of that.
That's right. Amen. Well, let's turn a corner and get into some of our subject matter here today. Talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. The Dow was down on Friday. It's down over 125 points today. So, of course, tariffs being a big part of that conversation. So give us some insight on this.
Well, on Friday, President Trump tweeted, and he authorized a doubling down on tariffs on steel and aluminum. Aluminum is now at 20%, steel at 50% for the country of Turkey. He also cited in this tweet that the relationship with Turkey is not a good one at this time. As a result of that, Turkey's currency has been moving downward. Actually, previously, it's been down the last month 36%. It's been down 22 of the 36% in just a week. They're the 17th largest economy in the world. But there's a reason why President Trump did this. Many might not know this. You might actually know this man because he's a...
North Carolina.
Yeah, from North Carolina. He's a Presbyterian evangelical, Andrew Brunson, 50-year-old, who's been living in Turkey for 23 years now. And he's come under the U.S.-Turkey friction, and Turkey has accused Brunson of helping to plot an attempt against the Turkish president back in 2016. And the U.S. officials have been trying to work with the Turkey officials, and President Trump's been involved. Vice President Pence has been involved. The National Security Department Council and state officials have been involved. This continues to go back and forth, this lobbying, and we thought that they were going to release him from prison, but they didn't. And so President Trump doubled down and put some pain behind this to really, in essence, to get Turkey to release this innocent man. And so as an aftermath, it caused some market turmoil. And 60 billion liras, the Turkish currency, 6 billion, excuse me, was injected into their system. They sold $10 billion were injected into the system to support their economy. They sold $6 billion, and they also sold $3 billion in gold, all to raise capital to support their economy.
Yeah, and those tariffs just hammering them, and I think it's pretty remarkable, and you got to give President Trump a hats off on this one. Pretty remarkable that he's willing to do something like that over one Christian pastor, which, and again, whether Donald Trump is a believer or not doesn't matter in this case. What he's done is pretty amazing to be able to take the power of the U.S. government and apply it to a country like Turkey, which is sliding into the abyss anyway. In order to put pressure on them to release an American citizen who happens to be a pastor is pretty amazing.
You know, he did respond because they're accusing him as a spy, and President Trump said in a tweet, he says, "I'm more of a spy than this man. He's innocent. He needs to come home to his beautiful family where he belongs." So, it's very admirable what our president did.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're talking about tariffs and quote-unquote trade war. Do you think that we're winning? Do you think this is a standoff? How do you think this is going?
Well, it really depends, Steve, on what yardstick you use. If you use the yardstick of the stock market, our stock market is up 6% since tariffs have been put into effect, while most of the global markets are down about 6%. If you use the dollar is up 3% since tariffs have been put into effect. But unfortunately, it causes another problem. It creates the trade deficit making bigger. So if you're going to look at the trade deficit, it's a negative. As far as the yardstick, if you look at the GDP, we're at 4%. That's a positive. You look at how many jobs have been affected, it's been a negative thing. And if you look at the debt and the deficit, those have been ballooning during trade wars. So that's a big negative. And I think this is just the start of a long-term, fight between mostly China and the United States, and Russia's coming on the tailwind of this.
Yeah, pretty amazing to watch. And again, I mentioned this earlier in the show, and I think it's worth mentioning again that we all, whether you like Trump or not, if you're a follower of Christ and you claim allegiance to the scriptures, we all need to be praying for those in authority over us. A minute ago, David, you said that, and we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, their website as always. You mentioned that Turkey sold some gold. Did that have an impact on the gold markets nationwide?
$3 billion should have, caused the gold market to go down at least $50. It went down $17, almost $18. I think it's being gobbled up by most central banks. So it's not a big sale, and it didn't cause a big depression. It kind of reminds me of 1999, people buying gold at the bottom of a market.
Well, that and other information, I know you have some great newsletters available now. How can people get a hold of those?
They can call us the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, or then go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
David Fisher, Landmark Capital, thank you, brother. Great hearing from you, and glad you guys had a great vacation. We'll talk to you again real soon.
It's good to be back.
All right, pal, talk to you soon. There you go, another one in the can, as they like to say. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, and God willing, we'll talk again real soon. By the way, I'll be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, broadcasting from the Museum of the Bible. I'll talk to you then.